When I was walking home that night, just as I was walking up the driveway, was just the word extraneous came up. Just like that. Which is often the way the woman communicates, I think, this little word. And what was so clear to me was that truly anything that arose in terms of comparison or judgment or evaluation of what was going on was extraneous to what was going on. I just had never seen it quite that clearly, and I was so thankful for the word that all that stuff doesn't arise from the situation.
Right.
It only arises in the head.
In the head, right.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it creates that other universe. Yeah. And when it arises, then I arises.
That's exactly what I was saying. Yeah. That is the illusion of a separate self.
Yeah.
That is the movement out of life and into an I that's having the life, or wants to be reflected in the life. Or
I guess I just had never gotten so clearly, because maybe I hadn't had quite as long a period of not being part of that.
Yeah,
hadn't realized this clearly. Just I've seen conditioning as irrelevant. I've seen it as unhelpful, but I don't think I've ever seen so clearly that it simply doesn't belong there. Nothing.
It has nothing to do with it.
With what's going on, and it doesn't come from that.
Uh-huh.
I think there was still some belief that somehow the situation generated it or warranted it or something.
Yeah.
But boy, I'm just getting that it comes from a whole different universe.
Yeah. So
it creates that universe.
And great, exactly.
As it arises.
Yeah. So it sounds like there was some still subtle belief that there is something in the content. There is something in the content that's kind of triggering that or creating that or something.
I guess.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then realizing, no, it has nothing to do, it doesn't arise from that.
No.
It's just its own universe that gets created and laid on top of that.
And it arises from habit. It arises from a force. There is a force that operates, and it has its own life. And I was watching this morning. So yesterday was a more extroverted situation than I'm normally in. And I was just watching the conditioning try to review, and just catch this or catch that or hammer at this or and oh my God, that pull. To just review that one thing.
Yeah, exactly. Just for a minute.
Just that one. I mean, the rest is really okay, but that one situation, I really ought to, dissect that a bit. It is such a pull to do. And to just keep coming back to it, this has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
And the trap is, of course, that I can't relive that situation to check it out.
Uh-huh.
So if I go with that evaluation, then that's the truth. That becomes the truth of it, because I don't have any frame of reference for it in the moment.
Yeah.
So the only hope is to drop it.
Yeah. Well, because when you really, really look at it, what could possibly be served in having that conversation?
Yeah.
In looking back at that thing?
Well, what could be served, Jane, of course, is that next time I don't do those things.
Next time I'm in that exact same situation.
When I'm so clear about this, I can't make it go away.
Yeah.
All I can do is not believe it.
Yeah.
All I can do is just not believe it.
Not believe it. Not go there. Not entertain that conversation at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because every time we entertain it, every time we go there, we're reinforcing that habit.
That's right.
Every time we don't, we're reinforcing the ability to choose not to go there.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that resonated that was said earlier was if I could just stay in this room, And I've been looking a lot at the privileged environment and how to live it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think what is, the coaching and just the increased, contact with Sangha and practice over the last year has just helped me to see what people are talking about today so much, that it is just so, superfluous or extraneous, and it's just, and what arises is a desire to build in a way without hopefully keeping an eye on if it's an I that's trying to make it happen, but sort of build a structure, guidelines, or something mm-hmm. out in light, out in mm-hmm. the world outside of the monastery, mm-hmm. where that is supported, where that is more and more the norm. I don't care if it's minuscule little baby steps. I really don't. Where it's just somehow becoming more the norm. God, that would just make me so happy. You know?
Just moving in the direction. And I'm not sure if you're talking about for you in your life or society or...
Yeah, I'm talking about all of it.
All of
me
it.
And starting with me in my life and bleeding all into, you know. I'd love the day. I have this fantasy about a day when an airport is a quiet place.
Right.
You know?
And you walk in and it's like a library. Just,
yes.
And you check in at the counter.
Yeah, and nobody's looking at you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're not all staring at each other. Not a people watching plays, yeah. You know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And
if it is, it's an opportunity to be owning your projection.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was practicing that yesterday on the plane as I was watching everybody walk on the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because it's so, what I look at, especially in a day like yesterday when we were out at the Bridge Walk and there's lots of people and it's a different way of being than usual for those of us at least who live in the monastery, that it's really just presence. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's what the privileged environment is that when one is present, one interacts with people in a way that's respectful and kind and leaves someone with their own experience and, you know, models adequacy and all of those things. And accepting, yeah, that the privileged environment is.
Yeah, and I had an experience two nights ago with my son that was so gratifying and at the same time kind of scary because he was sharing with me that, I have to give a little content, but he had asked his team, he's on a cross-country team, mm-hmm. and there was a scout coming from a college that he and only he on the team wants to go to. Mm-hmm. That was going to be at the meet the next day. And he had talked to his teammates about kind of letting him push ahead. They run as a pack and then let him push ahead at the end and cross first. And he was talking to me the night before the race and saying how he said, tell me that story. He said, it just didn't feel. He said, somehow I'm just wondering if it wouldn't really mean anything. You know, and he was really working it out. Mm-hmm. And then he was kind of trying to come up with the word. He said, I think I'm going to talk to the guys in the morning and say, that just didn't... And he was practicing what he would say, uh-huh. and I was sort of reflecting. Uh-huh. And I just felt so grateful that he had the wherewithal and the space to do that.
Yeah.
And there was a part of me that was felt like I wanted to guard him in that. Like, if uh-huh. his coach or anybody else found out that he had done that, they would have... tried to make him feel bad, I project. You know, the world would have, you shouldn't, what are you, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And here, it was this really tender space where he could look at it and just feel that it didn't feel good.
Yeah. Have his own experience instead of someone else coming in to say, you shouldn't do that or you should do this.
Yeah.
But, and how often, that's so interesting, how often kids would get to that place themselves if they were given the space to do it.
Yeah, I mean, we can project all the time they would get there because that's who they are, you know?
Yeah.
And it just, that kind of thing feeds this desire to, that I'm feeling lately to really see this out of
you. Yeah. Well, and I don't know if this is a piece of what you're saying, but in that you being able to be there with him and sort of offering the privileged environment gave him the space to have that experience.
Well, that's what I project anyway. I mean, that's really what I mean, that's why I call it, like, it was so gratifying because I can take a certain amount of pleasure and you know, credit in a way for having parented in this way. So,
yeah.
You know, and it's, and really just what it evokes for me is, I don't know. I'm kind of wondering if this is sort of an ego, sort of an appetite, but it's something that makes me really want to generate that more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
To have that more available to in the Yeah, that possibility.
Flowing directly from this place.
Yes.
Directly.
Well, it's so, it's interesting, isn't it? Because as you're talking, I can see that I would project that anyone who has, who truly has an experience of it would love it.
Yeah.
You know, would love it. I mean, ego, if they're identified with conditioning, will go crazy, probably not love it at all and feel like it's, what, you know, boring and, you know, I don't like it and why don't you, you know, all that kind of stuff, because there's no real drama in it. But that anyone who's really had an experience of it would love it. And that it's pretty rare that you find a place where only the heart is supporting them that way. And nothing about a conditioned way of approaching communication and interrelationships and that sort of thing is supportive.
And of course, I don't know what kind of process he did on himself, what self-hate did on him about it later. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, that's his work.
I mean, that's a huge, that's the adequacy piece of it, isn't it? I mean, there's no way, if we were to go down a road of, if I could have, you know, hold a privileged environment so much so that that person wouldn't have to, you know, then we're back down a road we don't want to go down. So, I mean, that's why it springs from, as you said in the beginning, it starts with you. And moves out from there. Because that's all we can ever really know.
Thank you. I like this looking at story dropping stuff. I had a story going on Friday that was just not a good story to me. And I spent some time after the event driving home dropping the story. Every time they talk, just dropping, just dropping. And I wasn't making a whole lot of progress, but it was an opportunity every, it seemed every tenth of a mile, I would have
an opportunity to drop it again.
It just wouldn't go away.
Which is a nice way to see it. Instead of, gosh, this keeps coming back. Wow, I get to drop it again.
I get to drop it again. It was just a lot of, I didn't quite see that then, but I had that opportunity to keep doing that. And I got home, and I was invited to talk a little bit about the event, which was to get into the story, the version I had. And I said, I can't talk about it. I'm dropping this whole thing.
What event?
I'm dropping it. And it was, but then it became, I just started to blurt it out. Here's the story. And the dear friend of mine pointed out, just in the back and forth, I was kind of laughing because I couldn't get rid of it. And there it was, and I was it, and it was not good. And she pointed out that an equally true version of the story was how wonderful the event was for this other person, which was undeniable. This other person had a marvelous time because of me and because I was there. I was very helpful to this guy, very helpful. And I didn't see any of that. That wasn't the version of the story that I was going with. And then it became evident that I had that even if. So it was easier to drop the bad one that I had because now I had this new good one. It was still, it's still a story. And there, that one had to be dropped as well. No matter if it made me feel good, it still has to go.
Because the good, just like we started with, the good is just the other side of the bad.
That mythical golf course in Georgia is a story. Just like the other one I had. And I'm trying to, it was helpful to hear you say that just on the drive up the road, me noticing that I was dropping a story is actually kind of, that's a nice place to be. That's a place to be even if you have a miserable story. And I suspect that I kind of even dropped the second good version of the story in somehow kind of the same way, knowing that I would get here and drop, I finished dropping it about a half hour ago. That even the good one went away. Because there's no more, like that's really what we have to make stories and we have to, that's not the way out. That I make good stories and I get free is not the ticket.
No, it's not free.
It's not. It's just not.
Well, and you know, what I hear in that also is, again, that theme of just kind of being patient as the story does what it does. as conditioning keeps putting the story in front of you, and you keep just having the willingness to drop it, then that's your piece of it. You know, we don't know how long it's going to keep putting it in front of you, but if you keep dropping it, we can know eventually it won't be there anymore. 30 minutes ago, there it was. It wasn't there anymore.
It's so helpful to hear that about the whole notion of patience and willingness. They never become part of the story when I'm in the story.
Right.
They're not the...
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not because they wouldn't make me feel good.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder too, as you say that, if the feel good that could come from recognizing the patience and the willingness that's happening may come from outside the duality. So, I mean, the imagitis, as you were talking of it, is sort of a mentoring, you know, presence coming in to recognize, wow, that's really great. Look at that. You're dropping that story.
As the drive up the road is happening, there is a mentor that's there is a lot of patience and a lot of willingness without awareness of mentor.
Yeah.
And so I stay stuck in dropping a bad story.
Yeah.
Instead of moving to a mentoring awareness of there's a lot of patience and a lot of willingness going on here.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the same thing that happened with the good story just sitting here. There's even more about this room specifically. There's more outrageous, I think is the word you use, the outrageous awareness that happens. There's a lot of patience. There's a lot of willingness.
Yeah.
And it does seem to clean up stuff pretty lickety-split.
Yeah.
They can't get legs and you can't get to do, well, I suppose I have done that here too, but it's not as easy.
Yeah. Well, I wonder when you said that, what I just saw was there's something almost tangible in here to hold our attention in the awareness, in the place that we want it to be. It's much more challenging when we're just going around in our daily lives doing what we're doing. But it's the same process, isn't it? That what you kept doing as you were dropping the story is bringing attention back to awareness, bringing attention back to awareness. And in here, it's so there's so much support, it's so palpable, that it's really a much bigger target for our attention here.
Yeah, it's easier to hit that one. It's
difficult. Yeah.
Sometimes it's on the drive up the road after the event, the target was very small.
Yeah, the story's this, and then the awareness is this, and here we reverse that. The awareness is this, and the story, yeah.
The story, yeah, that's very cool. So that's it.
Thank you. David.
So I was kind of looking at, it's kind of what's being talked about. I was looking at it in the sense of watching kind of the energy that happens underneath all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the area that was really, kind of like the energy underneath the story.
Mm-hmm.
So it was mentioned earlier that the stories themselves are completely irrelevant, mm-hmm. and they really have nothing to do with anything.
Right.
And yet it feels like, talk about appreciation for the story. It feels like they're the greatest gift of all time in some ways, because it's when there's a story, right before the story, it feels like there's some kind of a shift or movement of energy within the body.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at it yesterday. It was very intense. It was a great workshop yesterday because it was going from kind of this environment into, kind of a very, as it was mentioned earlier, a very extroverted environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the ride back up, kind of coming back into a quieter environment again.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched this kind of all the energetic kind of like, it could have gone anywhere. It could have gone into like straight suffering
mm-hmm.
on the way back up because there was such a buildup of energy and such a kind of release of energy, and the day, it was fun. You know, it's great to be in different roles. It's great to practice in solitude and kind of very introverted, and then to jump into the very extroverted and just allow, what does that energy feel like? You know, what's it like to be in that role? Not to, as you mentioned, not to lose necessarily kind of that privileged environment sense, but just to allow a different experience of it. And so, also driving on the way back, it was kind of dropping into me that in some ways, the role that's required in some ways is kind of like an energy manager. Mm. You know, someone needs to be home.
Right.
Or, you know, not a someone, but there has to be an awareness or something present to really get it that there's a lot going on.
Yes. Yeah. And I wonder, as you say that, if it's so, because often we talk about conditioning as an energy management system, and so if we're not present, if attention isn't on awareness, we could say that conditioning, all of that energy as it does whatever it does, is available to conditioning to create suffering.
Yeah, that's really, really, really well said, because it's exactly what I was experiencing. So on the car ride on the way back, it was okay, who's gonna get this energy? Like, you know, something is gonna take it. It's either going to be awareness, and you know, it's gonna be, you know, it's okay, you know, things are fine, there are the stories that they want the attention coming here, you know, it's either that, or it's like a vacuum in a way, and then boom, just gets sucked into meaning and story, and it's all gone up into the mind, and then, you know, I guess there, you know, reviews start in comparison or whatever, you know, however it manifests for each one of us.
Right, exactly.
And I was, gosh, it was like a whole workshop, you know, and it's even this morning. You know, there was so much energy that even waking up this morning, it's still, you know, I mean, it's all the time, obviously. Yeah. And I was seeing it as, and it's kind of perfect for the conversation, because I was seeing it as like, you know, talk about appreciation for what otherwise I would see as like, oh, you know, God, conditioning's arising, you know, like, why all these stories, you know, why do I have to do this? But instead, it was like everything had been flip-flopped. Mm-hmm. And it was like that which I've always resisted and struggled to like get away from. Mm-hmm. It was like, great. Uh-huh. Great. Uh-huh. Because it was that sense of, yes, that's irrelevant. And it's the very trigger. You know, it's like the worthy opponent that brings me back here. I mean, you know, sitting was blissful, and yet beforehand, if I had, it could have been the exact opposite.
Yes.
In any step of the way.
Yeah.
You know, from last night, this morning, it just requires so much moment-to-moment attention.
Yes.
And I think what's really arising for me is that in and of itself, so long as it needs to arise, because it doesn't need to be an attachment to it, kind of thing. But so long as it needs to arise, it actually is kind of the greatest gift that is available.
Because it's a cue to you of, oh, right, I need to be here.
Yes.
Because that story is right here, right next to me, really, really waiting to get all that energy to really create some suffering. So every time you become aware of it, that's a reminder, right, I want to be here.
Yes.
I want to be in the present moment.
And here, in the present moment, is not only not with it, but it's also not resisting it, struggling to get here.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's been such a big piece for me on this particular retreat, is that there's like, so there's the suffering, and then there's this kind of maybe pseudo-zen, or however we might say that, where there's that middle piece where now I'm an I, who is struggling to get here, and there's an immense amount of energy, and like that's just a perpetuation or a maintenance.
Now I'm going to drop the story.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then, in that situation, when it arises, it turns into like the opposite of it. Then it's like, then there's a struggle, there's a fight. Why is this arising? You know.
Ego's dropping ego, and ego's not doing a very good job dropping ego.
Exactly. So it's that here. with the appreciation and the gratitude of ego in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But again, not the attachment to it, like that it goes on. That's the thing that's been arising, is like, oh, excellent, this again. That requires me to be here, and it's going to keep coming until it no longer needs to, and then it will be laid down, kind of thing.
And then there will be the next one.
And then the next one arrives. And the great thing is that there's actual evidence that that's the way it is.
Yes.
Because there's things that I look back on, you know, from, you know, a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, six years ago, kind of thing, where it was that, and it's laid down. You know, it doesn't arise anymore, kind of thing.
And so often, we don't see that. You know, we don't see that. I was actually talking to a woman recently who does, I don't know, some kind of healing work, essentially. And she talked about how people will come in with some big thing going on with them. And then over time, that big thing kind of gets worked through. And then she'll check in with them, you know, how's that, huh? And they'll say, what? Like, they literally do not even remember that that was an issue. And so I suspect that's a huge way that we don't see the things that have been dropped over time. Because once they're dropped, it's like, that never happened.
Yes.
But at one point, it was a gigantic source of suffering.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah. And as you're saying that, what arises for me is I'm wondering if that's not just another way for conditioning in some ways to get the attention away from gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I think about the things set down,
yeah.
I mean, if I sat down and made a list of all the things that have been laid down, I would be in tears of gratitude daily.
Yeah.
I mean, just for all of that, for what this being goes through, or, you know, for each one of us, what, like the battles that are kind of fought and won.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's just so much gratitude. And so, you know, I'm guessing that it's all part of, you know, maybe like this keep attention, you know, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But then there's this thing to focus on, you know, as opposed to just the appreciation and the gratitude of it.
Yeah. In that, you know, there's that best year yet cycle model that they talk about, and that how the acknowledgement phase of goal setting is the fuel for the rest of it, and how often that's the thing that just gets dropped.
Yeah.
You know, never consider all of the things that you've accomplished, that you've done, that have happened, that have...
Right. Absolutely, the acknowledgement piece. Because if it's taken out, my experience of it is that it just turns into a rat race.
Exactly, you know, and the attention is always on what isn't done, what you haven't dropped, what you...
It's that attention moving to lack, that, you know, not enough, that whole thing, as opposed to acknowledgement, appreciation, gratitude, abundance, you know, look at this amazing work, that kind of, so...
I am loving this, because yesterday for me was less extroverted than I'm used to.
You're all over the country, so let's go.
And it was a great deal of fun to see sort of that all of the energy can be okay, whatever the level is. It's also okay sometimes, I suppose, for conditioning, how do I want to say it? There's, no matter what the energy level is, conditioning will have a better idea of what it ought to be.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So if it's low, it should be high. If it's high, it should be low.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. If I'm in performance, it's like, that's too much, it's too, it's, and then, you know, if I'm here, it's like, you know.
Yeah.
So the same, the process is, it's always, 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 always wrong.
Okay.
And it seems like part of that siphoning off for itself.
Yes. Yeah. If it can convince you that you're always wrong, it can always have the energy. It always has your attention.
Yes. Yeah. And what I've been so grateful for lately is I've noticed that stuff doesn't happen when I'm in performance. That ever since I was a very, very little kid, that was a safe place away from conditioning. Because everybody's looking at me, so we can't, there's not room for those stories.
Yeah.
We've got to sing or dance or whatever it is. And it used to be conditioning was like, well, that is so terrible and selfish, and you've got to not do that, right? But it's been more like bringing that sort of quality of this moment is the most important to every other energy level.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like that taught me how to do life.
It reminds me of the quote, which, let's say if I could, you know, that one about live as if everyone is watching you, and you know, and then there's the reverse of it, that, you remember this quote?
It's that dance if no one is watching,
and then when no one's watching, you do the other one. Right. That's really good. It reminds me of exactly what you're pointing at, which is that, you know, that place of when all eyes are on you in a performance, it sounds like there's you have to be here. Have to be here. And then when all eyes aren't on you, it's like, oh, you know, well, it doesn't really matter to me. I can just, you know, I can be unconscious for a while. But to get it, no, actually, the stakes are the same all the time. All the time. And so that wanting to be present in every situation in the way that you're present when you're on stage.
Yeah, and that's another wonderful thing about the environment created here, is that it can't get into those. So constantly for me, this karmic pattern is that I don't belong wherever I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff falls away when I'm in performance, because it feels like a very belonging place. It feels like center is very wide. Sometimes literally like a spotlight that is very encompassing. And I notice when the energy is at a different level, and when I come here, there's a constant bit of my personal energy that has to go to having an excuse for what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm constantly, I don't belong and I'm doing the wrong thing, so I better have an excuse at the ready.
I see.
And so part of, I've been dropping needing to have a reason why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
As a personal practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that frees up even more energy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And there would be this story that you can't have that a lot of energy and be here, and be washing dishes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that same story of, well, you don't belong.
Oh.
You don't belong washing dishes.
I see, because you have the wrong amount of energy for this.
Right. Or whatever the story is. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it always ends in you don't belong, and that you realize...
It begins there, too.
It always begins there. It starts and ends there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's handy.
Yeah.
And so what you've been practicing is dropping that, and a piece of a particular manifestation of that is always justifying what you're doing, so that you always have a story at the ready, should someone question you about, I suppose, why you're doing that, or whatever it is.
Gosh, yeah, that's so interesting. Because I remember I used to perform sort of in secret from mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this sort of cloud that would go with that, like if I heard the car in the driveway. You know, but there is this, you better have an excuse why you're doing this.
Right. Uh-huh. Wow.
So that's, it sort of feels like that same process all over again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's been carried forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then even in an environment where it's very unlikely anyone's going to walk up to you and question you, right, about what you're doing, that you still have that, there's that habit to be in that conversation. You said to give some of your energy there.
Right.
Give some of your attention to that. Process of justifying.
Yeah, that's right, it's a habit. But there's got to be, part of my attention has to be on what the excuse is.
Mm-hmm. And as you drop that, more energy arises.
Yeah.
And conditioning wants to make that problem in this setting.
Yes. Uh-huh. Exactly.
And yet it isn't, is it?
No, not at all. And as a matter of fact, it works great.
Yeah.
And so it's
very powerful. Clean up, people.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, there's no, that's part of the beauty for me, for the privileged environment, there's no need for excuses.
Yes, yeah. And that you can have it, truly any amount of energy. You know, on all sides of it, you know, I mean, we can have a day where the story is, I have no energy at all, and prove it to ourselves that if that's all right, I can still do all the same things. Or I can have enough energy to just run up trees and still just do all the things that there are to do today. And that with any amount of energy, it's all possible. And that, you know, it reminds me of the few of the earlier discussions, that a big piece of what we're doing in practice is just expanding the container to be all right with however the energy is. And that very, very often, as we practice, you know, what you're describing is more and more energy is available. It's the habit is to give that excess energy to conditioning, and we practice expanding the container so it can just be here in awareness as we're doing whatever we're doing.
Yeah, and I guess there for a long time there was a sort of pseudo Zen that believed that Zen people had a certain type of energy or amount or some.
Calibrate
is right there. Flat, so. Right, and I don't belong if I can't calibrate.
Boy, that's so interesting. I bet you every person could plug that. And I don't, whatever, for you it's I don't belong. And each person could plug their sentence into that in that same way. Because I'm not the right person because I'm not whatever it is.
Thank you.
To come back to what was being said before about memory and remembering, not remembering the things that, the good things that have happened or the things that maybe were suffering, difficult, and that have been let go. And it seems to me that memory is the tool of conditioning. It doesn't seem to be in presence. There's not a referral back to to the past.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't seem very surprising that we would, in a sense, feel like we've lost, or feel like I've lost things in the past because they just passed. And so, I don't know where I'm going with this, but it seems all right in that if when I'm feeling or experiencing gratitude or appreciation, that has to arise in the moment.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to do with the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my experience, that the gratitude arises in the moment. It's not I'm going to dredge something up. And very often, what arises in the moment is a realization. It can be, like, actually I was just looking at this with the bridge walk yesterday, that it's an annual event. It happens every year. So often there are just tons of awarenesses that are available in that because it's seeing oneself in the same situation that you've been in many times before, but at different sequences.
Yeah.
And so often that, wow, this is really different, will arise, and in that moment, the gratitude with that arises. For seeing all the things that have been dropped, that it used to be that way, it used to be that way.
And also the sort of not having to feel bad that I'm not remembering more about the good stuff or the things that I've left because this just seems to be part of the process.
Yeah. Well, certainly any feeling that
But that's what, because I say that because there seemed to be a question in what was brought up before about why is it that we don't remember more the good things that we've let go. And it seems that in asking that question, there's a kind of like, well, it should be different.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, or I don't know if that's just what I heard or mm-hmm. if that's...
So when you heard that discussion, what came up for you was it seemed like in that there was a, well, this should be different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might just be an interesting place to look. Does it need to be different for you to be open to just having the gratitude and awareness for all the changes, for lack of a better word, that practice has afforded over the years?
But can you say that again?
Well, just the, does it really need to be from a place of, well, something should be different? Because, of course, so in practice, we see a possibility, right? And that so often with that, conditioning wants to then turn that into a, well, you should, mm-hmm. you have to, or now you're going to, or, you know, make a plan sort of thing. And often we talk about just holding that possibility as a koan, just a, and not needing to think about it or do anything with it, but just simply holding it as a, especially if it's something that in some way kind of, you know, you resonated with it or something about it picked up for you,
mm-hmm.
to just kind of sit with that and see.
I think I hear that. You're saying being hearing or being with the what was seeing that as a problem for seeing it, so that should be different.
And also just being with the, because I'm projecting, I have no idea, you know, you could look and see, but that there was something in that that you heard in that conversation that was a possibility of allowing yourself to be present to all that practice has created for you, you know, has, you know, however you want to say that, you know, has changed for you over the years. The reason I'm projecting that is so often when conditioning gets kicked in, it's because it's the being has seen a possibility that conditioning does not want the being to have.
One thing I'm noticing is the conversation we were having about energy is how often we're caught up in the conversation of the right wrong energy, and that by just sitting still, sitting here, I watch my energy move the full spectrum and maybe back. And we don't afford ourselves that opportunity out in the world to just sit with how we are.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think for me, having my the struggles I have with my health and a lot of you shouldn't feel this way,
mm-hmm.
It's really helpful when I have that opportunity, because it allows so much more of the container to be there for being okay no matter what.
So if I think I follow what you're saying, that sitting in group, even just here
today now,
you can watch your energy go the whole spectrum,
yeah.
and maybe even full circle, and that sitting, it's sort of like the awareness we're talking about, the awareness that's available in this room, has you having the opportunity to have that experience in a place of acceptance.
Right.
It just is, yeah. And how little you get to have that experience in your day-to-day life. That often it sounds like conditioning attaches to, well, you shouldn't have that experience.
Right. Conditioning catches me very first thing in the morning and starts to run the process. You know, you're lying in bed or maybe just get up, and then the assessment and the evaluation and then the program for the day for me as by conditioning gets laid out because you feel bad or you feel good, right?
Based on that,
yep.
Now I'm going to project the whole day.
The whole day and
yeah.
your whole life. And
from now on.
But one of the other things I noticed this week and why I put up my hands is how much connecting, participating, and showing up shifts that energy, whether it's connecting to the awareness that we talked about, the room holding or Sangha, or, you know, just getting to a different, the word that comes up is like higher energy, but, you know, bumping out of that constant relationship with conditioning that keeps everything at its level. And then even a, you know, a reflective listening call or whatever just kicks the whole thing over into more possibility and more spaciousness.
Yeah, which does tend to create more energy, doesn't it? Because, you know, just even in laying out that process of waking up in the morning, I mean, that is an energy management system right there. You know, I mean, that is just packed ratcheting up the energy and making it just so. And I mean, you can just feel the, you know, as you're talking about it, it's like exhausting in itself, like, oh. And so to strip that off of it, and or to have something like a reflective listening call or something that just shifts, you know, sort of strips the story off the top of it, really starts to release the energy in a way that, you know, not to say that then, okay, we're always going to feel chipper and ready to go and run a marathon. That's not what it's about. It's not happening on that level. It's just that there isn't that constant pulling the energy away. There just is the energy there is.
And for me, what I notice is when that program gets laid out, you know, there's a fixed identity that has that life. And it's really a challenge to get out of that habit energy and be in any awareness. Yeah. So any connection or participation, just that little bit of shift, it, like you said, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be woohoo.
Yeah.
What it offers is the possibility of some greater awareness and disidentification that then allows me to create, to be in more spacious, that more spacious place with myself, and to provide more consideration and care for the being exactly. that is struggling.
Exactly. Yeah, that it really, it almost opens a space for life to care for the being.
Right, exactly.
In a way that, yeah. And I would bet, it's such an interesting place to look, because I would bet that part of the conditioned story, is, you know, waking up in the morning, is I'm taking care of myself. Right? Like, it's going to do things, well, today I don't have any energy, so I better, that might actually be things that keep the being in a sort of energy-suppressed kind of a place. Mm-hmm. But in that, letting the stories go and knowing, I don't have any, you know, I feel this way right now. In 5 minutes, I don't know how I'm going to feel. And that opening the space for life to truly care for the being. So if it is really time to go jogging, then we go jogging. If it is really time to take a nap, then we take a nap. There's no story that needs to be put on top of it. No right or wrong person, good, bad, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so this discussion was really helpful, because that whole I feel good, I feel bad, I mean, when it's manifesting in the physical world, you really don't want to feel bad. I mean, there's nobody that wants to feel like that. However, because there is someone who's having that experience, what conditioning brings is really not helpful. And it's so ingrained, and the process is so thick, to get any glimmer of, oh, how can life help care? You know, how can I get with life and care? Even if it's just changing, getting out of that conversation to the place of, oh no, I started this the other day, because that's what happened when the shift happened. It was like, oh, okay, I can do this. No, thank you. I'm practicing peace. No, thank you. I'm practicing kindness. And just, you know, got the recorder and made the list. It's over. And then, okay, no, thank you. And it was like a lifesaver there. And I'm so grateful.
Boy, that's, yeah, it's a miracle when those just simple practices drop in.
Yeah, and they make all the difference in conditioning we have us think.
Yeah.
How can that help?
How can that help? Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. It's very helpful to have gotten to the place, you know, I was thinking about this before when we were talking to David, of that it really is helpful, especially in the beginning of practice, to get present to how hideous the stories are, or how much conditioning is not helping a physical situation. To really, really see that, to get it in the deepest place we know, that is not going to assist anything. And so when the other possibility drops in, we're completely going for it, because it's like, I have tried the other many times and it is not going anywhere good. So there's just this huge willingness to jump in with everything we've got to this very simple practice that conditioning says won't work, and to just be open to, well, let's just try it and see. And then actually connecting it back up with a little bit of the other discussion, then in staying present, we're actually present to how it does work. Right? Because if we stay up here in this, as Sherry talks about, is it working? No, it's not working. There's no way it's gonna work. But if we stay present, what we'll see is, completely working.